With confidence in the authority and sufficiency of the Word of God, here's the Emmanuel Pulpit and Pastor Mike Stone.
Matthew 8:24 says that a violent storm was upon the sea and the boat was being covered with waves while Jesus was asleep in the boat. I still love the story of the doctor, the dentist, and the lawyer who were out fishing one day on a deep sea fishing trip when a sudden storm and a huge wave capsized that boat. They clung for their lives to the top of that overturned boat. When they began to decide which one of the three would try to swim to a nearby island to locate some help. Without a word, the lawyer took off and he jumped into the waters. And as he did, they noticed they were shark-infested waters. And as that lawyer began to swim, the sharks just divided, kind of like the Red Sea, and they left the lawyer alone. The dentist shouted out, "It's a miracle." The doctor cried out, "It's a sign from God." And the lawyer cried back, "No, it's just a professional courtesy." Well, in Psalm 107, we do find a terrible, terrible storm. But thanks be to God, we also find a miracle and a sign from God. Derek Kidner, in his commentary, calls Psalm 107, "God to the rescue." Because Psalm 107 can be divided into four different sections. And in each vignette, we find the people of God are in a time of crisis. And God, in his grace and mercy, responds to their need. For example, in verses 1 through 8, God's people are in a desert. In verses 9 through 22, they are in a dungeon. In verses 23 to 32, they are in a distress. And in verses 33 to 43, they are in a drought. And in each circumstance, God, by his power and kindness, delivers his people. And the psalmist says the saints should respond with a simple statement. The text says again and again, they should give thanks to the Lord for his mercy and for his wonderful works to the children of men. The King James says, "Oh, that men would praise God for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men." We find that simple admonition in verse 8, verse 15, verse 21, and verse 31. To those who were wandering around in the desert, God gave guidance. And the psalmist said, in light of that, we should give thanks to the Lord for his mercy. To those who were in the dungeon, God gave liberty. And the psalmist says, oh, we should give thanks to the Lord for his mercy. To those who were in a drought, God sent rain. And the psalmist said, we should give thanks to the Lord for his mercy. But today I want us to look at some grizzled mariners who are out on the storm-tossed waves, and in their distress they cried to the Lord and he gave them mercy. And the Bible says he brought them to their desired haven. And the writer says again that they should give thanks to the Lord for his mercy. But if your Bible is open, I want you to notice in verse 43, the last verse of this psalm concludes by telling us, listen, that wise people pay attention and consider the mercies of the Lord. In times of crisis, people who have the wisdom of God, listen to me now, go through that crisis with their eyes open and their thinking caps on. Wise people consider the mercies of the Lord and give him thanks for his goodness. Now, with that in mind this morning, I want to share with you three lessons that we can learn in a storm. And by the way, if you've lived long, you know that some lessons you can learn better in a storm than in a calm. And there are some lessons you can only learn in a storm. You can't learn them in a calm at all. Now, to be crystal clear, the storm that I'm talking about is Hurricane Helene. And it is a literal meteorological picture of the storms that we face in life. Three lessons I think we can learn from Hurricane Helene. Three lessons we can find in the Word of God. Three lessons that I think we can apply to our lives. And if we really do, we'll say, give thanks to the Lord for his mercy to the sons of mankind. Now, I'm going to try to preach fast before you drift off to sleep, finally finding a comfortable place to rest this week. But I want you to notice first, there's a lesson we can learn about perspective. Have you gotten a new perspective this week? You see, in the word perspective, there's spect, and that portion of the word speaks of vision. A spectator is looking at something. Spectacles are glasses. When you inspect something, you're looking at it and examining it, and perspective involves seeing things more rightly and more clearly. In my life, the last 10 days, the great physician has been specializing in spiritual optometry. There's some things I've begun to see more clearly. Now, I could take a long time to tell you about them, but let me just limit our discussion to two things that I think a storm can teach us about having the right perspective. First, we need to learn the right perspective about our possessions. It's amazing how quickly things can be taken away. Houses that took months to build can be gone in seconds. Shingles that took days to lay can be blown away in seconds. Drive around our own fair community and you'll see that trees that took decades to get to their current size can be gone and down, laying in the yard in seconds. Streets that it took months to clear and pave can be made impassable in a moment of time. In my own house, four trees fell in my backyard. Sections of our fence have been totally destroyed. Two trees fell in a perfect X formation across our four-wheeler. Now, I know that many of you suffered much greater damage, and I'll speak of that in just a moment. But whatever it is that you lost, do you know what it was? Stuff. It's just stuff. And in light of eternity, the old preachers would call it burning stuff. May God help us in the aftermath of this storm to see our possessions more clearly. And by the way, as quickly as it has been taken away, much of it in a storm, one day all of it will be taken from your cold hands through the storm of death. One of the wealthiest men that we read about in the Bible was a farmer in the 12th chapter of the Gospel of Luke. Jesus tells about this farmer who had a bumper crop. And he said, I've got to tear down my barns. We would say, I've got to tear down my barns and my grain silos. I've got to build some bigger things. And he filled them up with the bounty of his harvest. And at the end of the day, resting in his recliner perhaps, folding his hands, he said, eat, drink, be merry, let's live it up. Look at all of my blessings. And God said to him, you fool, this very night your soul will be required of you. And what will happen of those many possessions you have acquired? I'll tell you once again what will happen to those many possessions. The ones that your children don't fight over and split the family over will be liquidated in a yard sale while they finance their trip to Cancun. Now, don't misunderstand me. There is absolutely nothing wrong with having nice things. But just make sure those nice things don't have you. And this storm should remind us, listen carefully, stop living for the things you can live without. And stop living for the things that one day you will live without. May God help us learn a lesson about perspective when it comes to our possessions. But we have a new perspective also when it comes to our problems. There are at least two things that this storm has reminded me about my problems. And by the way, you'll hear me use the word remind a lot. Because for most of us, we've learned these lessons in the past, but you know what happens, and it will eventually happen in the present case. Life will get back to normal. And we will have a tendency to forget the blessings of God. But in the last several days, I've been reminded about a couple of things about my problems. First is that somebody always has it worse. And if you will focus on helping them with their problems, you're more likely to forget about your own. People who are busy serving others don't have time to go to a pity party, including their own. Friday morning, when I, like many of you, got up and surveyed my yard, it looked like everybody else's yard around here. Power was off, so I fired up the generator and got it going. But then at 7:26, according to my phone, I got a text message that Mr. Leon Davis had passed away, giving his life in sacrifice and service to our community. A few minutes later, I was contacted about a church family here at Emmanuel that had had a significant property loss. And when I looked at a few trees down in my yard, the fence damaged in need of being replaced, I realized I don't have any problems. When you turn on the news, if you have power at your house, watch what's going on in North Carolina and South Carolina and the region of Appalachia. And I say to those who have lost the most, whatever that means, who've lost the most in our region, it still pales in comparison to what others have experienced throughout our nation. For nearly 30 years now, I have believed that hospitals have magic elevators. Because I've gone to the hospital on many occasions, grumbling and mumbling and complaining about some little something going on in my life. But when you take that elevator up to the intensive care unit, and families are having a meeting with hospice about taking mama to the hospice house, or whether or not they're going to pull the plug, as we say, you can ride down that elevator with an entirely different attitude. May God give us a new perspective about our problems. Somebody's always got it worse. The second thing I've noted about my problems is that almost every one of them is itself connected to a blessing. I'm talking about perspective. Picking up that problem and looking at it. Examining it, inspecting it, and you'll find that somehow tethered to that problem that you're facing is a great blessing from God. For example, the trees that fell in my yard, they're a mess, but they fell in my yard because I've got a yard. The reason they fell on my fence is because I've got a fence. And I remember that fence years ago when we had preschoolers and I needed to enclose the backyard so that they could safely use the backyard. That fence was built by a love gift from this church. I see that fence on the ground, and it took me back to 2005 when this church gave a gift because you appreciated our ministry. The reason I have shingles in my yard is because I've got a roof that had some shingles on them. I'm not complaining about two trees falling on my four-wheeler because it means I had enough extra money to have a four-wheeler. The reason you lost meat in your freezer is not just because the power went off. The power went off at other people's houses and they didn't lose meat in their freezer. You know why you lost meat in your freezer? First of all, you got a house that has power run to it. Secondly, you had a freezer. Thirdly, you had enough food at your house that you had to buy a major appliance to store the food you ain't got time to eat yet. I'm not saying it's wrong to be frustrated when you have to throw out perfectly good meat. You can have a sense of frustration and angst and at the same time have gratitude for God. These things are not necessarily in conflict with each other. But when you pull that problem down and scrutinize it with a God-honoring perspective, you'll find out there is a blessing attached even to that problem. A friend in Valdosta texted me early on Friday to ask how we were and how much damage we had. And I responded by saying, I didn't lose anything I plan on taking into eternity with me. When I look at my possessions and my problems with a biblical perspective, I want to say, give thanks to the Lord for His mercy. Yeah. A lesson about perspective. Secondly, there's a lesson about partnership. Over the last 10 days, I've seen this church and other churches in our community come together and serve in ways like I've literally never seen before. And this storm has reminded any thinking person about the blessing of partnership. The bottom line is we need one another. Back in July, I was adding on to sort of a lean-to on the back of my shop, and because I was impatient and didn't want to ask for or wait on any help, I set a 14-foot beam by myself. Now, you can do that by yourself, but it's a whole lot easier if you've got somebody holding the other end. I'll tell you something else you can do by yourself, but it's a whole lot easier if you've got some help. Life. It's a whole lot easier if you've got some friends, some brothers and sisters in the faith to come alongside of you. And I pray this storm would teach us a lesson, remind us about a lesson about partnership. I see that manifested in two ways. We need partnership in times of service. In times of service, I have to take this opportunity to thank so many of you who showed up on a text message notice, who showed up on a moment's notice. And I know that others would have, but you were attending to other affairs, other matters, other priorities at your own home or business. But literally throughout the last 10 days, hundreds of members of Emmanuel have converged on our community to share the love of the Lord Jesus, to be the hands and feet of Christ. I hesitate to mention any specific examples because there have just been too many to count, too many to name. But last Sunday afternoon, I received information that we could get several cases of Boston butt meat, and I called a member of our church to ask about a grill, and to my amazement, he not only offered his grill, but he said, bring them out here to the house, and I'll cook them. I said, I've got 54 of them. And without hesitation, they went on the grill, and by the next day, we used that meat to feed over 1,000 people. Ecclesiastes 4:9 says that two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. You need partnership in service. Last Sunday, we had about 50 men show up with chainsaws and yard tools and tractors and just go out beginning to serve others. And those men together did more than what any one of them could have done alone. All across our community, our church family, ministry has been going on literally around the clock. I was sharing with a brother right before the service that if you're an able-bodied man, now, you may not be. You may have a senior adult. You may have an injury. But if you're an able-bodied man, could I say over about the age of 10, and you're not slap wore out from working and serving other people, something's wrong with you. Turn the PlayStation off. Turn the Xbox off. Put your iPhone down. And lift up your eyes to the field. For they're not only white unto harvest, they are strewn with pine tree limbs that you can pick up and drag to the road. And I'm so blessed to see so many of our own church family come together in partnership in times of service. Colossians 3:24 says, it is the Lord Christ whom you serve. And may I say, on behalf of Mission Blackshear coming up this Saturday, and I know that I'm encouraging you student families to do what you're already planning on doing, but parents, listen to me very carefully. If your middle school or high school student had time to take 4 days to travel up to the foothills of Tennessee to go whitewater rafting. They've got time and physical ability to be a part of serving our community. You need partnership in times of service. I've learned a lesson also about partnership in times of sorrow. The last 10 days have not only been filled with service, they've been filled with sorrow. There have been a lot of frustration, been a lot of sadness, a lot of tears. Many in our church have experienced a great loss. And there will be opportunities to assist them in the days ahead. We've had significant property loss. And we need to wisely and astutely make sure that we're waiting on and talking with insurance companies and that we're not duplicating or using resources where we could use them in other places. There is wisdom in all of that. We've had deaths connected to our church family and our community. We've had husbands and wives who have been at each other's throats. We've had children in rebellion to their parents. In other words, Hurricane Helene stopped a lot of things, but it didn't stop life. Life is still happening. And you need the partnership of godly men and women in times of sorrow. Ecclesiastes 4, verses 9 and 10 said that two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. For if either of them fails, the one will lift up his companion. But woe to the one who falls when there is not another to lift him up. Now, beloved, you may or may not have had a lot of personal sorrow as a result of Hurricane Helene. But sooner or later, life's going to pop you in the mouth. Sooner or later, life's going to kick you in the teeth. And you will find out in that moment, you will be eternally grateful that you hitched the wagon of your life and your family to the household of faith. A lesson about perspective. A lesson about partnership. Thirdly and finally, there's a lesson about preparation. Without question, the number one thing that I've heard during Hurricane Helene are people saying we were just not prepared. And in one sense, that's understandable. In one sense, that's understandable. It's the worst storm to hit our community in any of our lifetimes. If there's one that hit this region harder, it was long before any of us were alive. And even though we were warned by meteorologists, from the Weather Channel to our own local first responders, I think I know the reason why many of us were so unprepared. And this is a lesson we need to learn from this storm. I think many of us were unprepared because we've been warned about storms before. We've canceled school before in anticipation of a great storm that turned out to be a thunderstorm at worst. We've canceled church services before in anticipation of life-threatening weather that turned out to be next to nothing. And for far too many of us, when they came on and said, hey, Southeast Georgia, watch out for Hurricane Helene. Let's be honest, you don't have to raise your hand. You don't have to shout me down this morning, but let's be honest, we've heard that before. And it caught us off guard because we've heard it before. About storms that never really materialized. I mean, we may go out and buy a few flashlight batteries, some bread, water, maybe 5 gallons worth of gasoline and enough toilet paper to sink an ocean liner. But I want to ask you a serious question. If you could go back even 2 weeks, rewind 14 days. Is there anything you would do differently to prepare for Hurricane Helene? Would you have bought a bigger or a better generator? Called somebody to go ahead and cut down some trees in your yard so that they could fall at the time and direction of your choosing instead of the hurricane's choosing? Would you have prepared differently in terms of food, batteries, and other supplies? The reason I ask this question is because I want to tell you about two storms that are definitely coming. And the only reason that you may not be prepared for these two storms is because preachers like me and churches like this have warned you about them again and again and again and again and again. But these two storms are going to come. Storm number one is what I'll just label the challenges of earth. As long as you live in this world, you are going to face trouble. Jesus himself said in John 16:33 that in this world ye shall have, not you might have, or you're probably going to have, or you could have. Jesus said, in this world ye shall have tribulation. Life is going to bring a storm to your house. Trouble will one day knock on your door. Listen to me, friend. And if you wait until it comes with the ringing of the phone, if you wait until it comes with the knock on the door, if you wait until it comes with the revelation of tragedy or hurt or chaos, you will have waited too late to prepare for that storm. The very word prepare means something you do in advance. You've got to do it before. For example, death is going to come to your house one day. Why do we always act so surprised about the only sure thing in this world? You better be prepared for it. And know in advance what you think about life and death and eternity. Conflict is going to come to your house. You are going to find out something disappointing about your husband. You are going to discover something hurtful about your wife. Your children are going to rebel. There's going to be some kind of financial challenge. And you need to decide right now, I'm going to anchor my life and my soul to the book of God and the house of God and the people of God and the mind of God and the ways of God. I'm going to go ahead in advance and decide, this is how I'm going to live my life. This is the foundation I'm going to rest upon. I will set my affection on the things above and not on the things of the earth. And if you wait until the storms of life hit, it will be too late to prepare. Could I be very practical this morning? Every Sunday morning, with a few exceptions like a major hurricane, every Sunday morning, we have Sunday school classes right here on this campus. Teachers have prepared themselves to teach you the Word of God. And do you know why some don't attend? Listen to me carefully. It's because you don't think a storm's coming. You can say, well, I don't really care for my teacher. Listen to me. If you knew a storm was coming, you would have bought a generator from the rudest sales associate at the home center. When the storm did come, if you were in line getting ice and water and free food, you didn't care about their attitude. You didn't care about their ability. The only thing that mattered to you is you knew that you needed what they were handing out. And the reason that many of the things of God are not important to the people of God is we don't think a storm is coming. Every Sunday morning, we preach Bible messages from this pulpit. And do you know why some people who name the name of Jesus don't come regularly? You've been deceived into thinking a storm is not coming. Every Sunday night, with very few exceptions, we gather for worship. A couple of weeks ago, I stood in this pulpit and said something I think I've only said maybe four or five times in my whole ministry. I said, what I'm preaching tonight, you need to hear. Cancel it if you can. You need to be back. And listen, we had a great crowd that night. But it wasn't a whole lot different than what it normally is. You know why? We really don't think the storm is coming to our life, our home, and our family. Every Wednesday night, we have Awana for our children. Student ministry for our middle schoolers and high schoolers. And you know why many of our students are allowed to be off doing other, listen, lesser important things? Because we don't really think that a storm is coming. Every morning, God is willing to meet you at the breakfast nook, at the supper table, at a recliner, or by the side of the bed with an open Bible and a bent knee of prayer. And the only reason that many of us would not start the day with the Lord is we don't really think that a storm is coming. And Hurricane Helene should remind us, you need to be prepared in advance for the challenges of earth. But finally, you need to be prepared in advance for the coming of eternity. You see, there is a day for which you had better be prepared. Hebrews 9:27 says, it is appointed to men once to die. And after that, the judgment. That forecast is absolutely reliable. The birth rate to the death rate, listen, friend, is 1-to-1. 100% of those born will face the door of death. Now, as I've gone around and met with people and ministered in the home and in the yard, a lot of people have told me, and by the way, your pastor would be in this group, as well as I could have been prepared, I'll be a little better prepared when? The next time. I may have done a lot of stuff, but I promise you, I'll be better prepared the next time. It may be that you want to lower your insurance deductible or raise your coverage rates. You want to get a little more of this, do a little more of that, so that you'll be better prepared the next time. But listen carefully. When it comes to being ready to face God in judgment, to stand at the judgment bar of heaven and give an account for your life, there won't be a next time. You get one chance to get it right. And if you don't get it right, it won't be something that lasts for one day or 2 days or 10 or 14. But it will last for all of eternity. And it may very well be that Hurricane Helene and the Word and the Spirit of God want to teach you a lesson about being prepared for the storm of death that's coming. And there are no do-overs, there are no makeup exams. You've got to get it right the first time. The good news is you don't have to get it right on your own. You can get it right because of something somebody else has done. My children were blessed and better prepared for the storm because of some things that Daddy had done. Y'all follow what I'm saying? And the only way that I can be prepared for the coming judgment of God is not because of something I've done. It's because of something my Father has done. That in love and grace, He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, into the world to live a perfect life, to die on the cross for my sin and be raised from the dead. And if you've never trusted Jesus as your Lord and as your Savior, today is the day of salvation. You know why the Bible says now is the time and today is the day of salvation? Because now is the only time you know you've got. Life is a vapor and it appears for a moment. Then it vanishes and is gone. Andre Crouch was a great songwriter. You've sung his songs before, "Soon and Very Soon We're Going to See the King," songs like that. One of my favorite songs that he wrote is a song called "Through It All." The second verse of that song says something like this. "So I thank him for the mountains, and I thank him for the valleys, and I thank him for the storms he's brought me through. Because if I'd never had a problem, I would have never known that God could solve them. I would have never known what faith in God could do. So through the storms of this world, the storms of life, the storms of the soul, let's learn that through it all, we can trust in Jesus and trust in God."
You've been listening to the Emmanuel Pulpit, where Pastor Mike Stone is committed to walking you verse by verse through the books of the Bible. You can contact us through our church website at ebchurch.net or visit pastormikestone.com. Thanks for joining us for today's episode of the Emmanuel Pulpit.